I've done a lot of stories on koalas over the last 3 or 4 years, with koala censuses taking place, and in places such as the Southern Highlands. We've seen allegations that land clearing around the Wallandilly is endangering some of the last really healthy koala populations in New South Wales. And here's the latest. I'll quote here from Yahoo News Australia. The national koala population has been labelled functionally extinct in a report by the Australian Koala Foundation. Now, is this just a scare tactic? It certainly scared me when I found out that functionally extinct means that the population is beyond the point of recovery. Deborah Tabat is the CEO of the Australian Koala Foundation and joins us now here at ABC Illawarra. G'day, Deborah. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, tell me about the Australia Koala Foundation. What do you do?
Well, we started in 1986, and we're a scientific organisation that is completely privately funded from the public. And I've been here for 31 years. So,
oh, my Lord.
I know. And I'm not going anywhere until I get a Koala Protection Act.
Okay. Well, we'll get onto that in a minute. Well, as a scientific organisation, are you using it in that specific sense of beyond the point of recovery?
Yes, and you know, it's really been interesting. It was a bold move to say this, but I believe it. And I'm actually looking at our assessment. So since 2010, we have been assessing 128 federal electorates that have koalas in them. Mm. 41 of those electorates are extinct. Only 5 of them have more than 5,000 koalas. 10 have between 1,000 and 5,000, and 46 have between 500 and 1,000. That's our estimate. And this has been done systematically in that, you know, we look at the amount of habitat that's there, we look at the quality of the habitat, and we look at the research that's been funded by us and others. And Kangaroo Island, you know, everyone talks those millions of koalas. When you're looking scientifically at a population, you can't look at anything that's got the same genetic material. All the koalas on Kangaroo Island are genetically identical because they came from 6 little babies. A man went across on Kangaroo Island.
So they were repopulated, or they were a new population was started from those 6?
Well, the shootings between 1890 and 1927... We know that at least 8 million were shot because we've got the manifest for the skins, but I think it could have been double that. Mm. And Kangaroo Island never had them ever because it was isolated from the mainland for a lot of years.
So it's almost like one of those insurance populations such as we've seen with your parrots in New Zealand and that kind of thing.
Yes, and it was a mistake. It wasn't scientifically done. It was just a guy who took 6 animals across to his girlfriend.
Right, someone who didn't understand the genetic variation necessary for a sustainable population.
Well, and it was in the 30s, I think, or 40s. Right. But I think, you know, so we just regard that as a management problem. So we're focusing on the mainland. We absolutely stand by our figures. And, you know, seriously, if someone came up and said, look, we found a million koalas lurking somewhere, we'd be the happiest people. But I think this new Prime Minister has to do something. He has to.
Terry from Lake Heights has called with a question. He says, is it true that koalas in South Australia are being sterilised due to overpopulation?
Well, that's the same thing I just talked about with KI. Yes, they're saying there's 150,000 koalas in the Adelaide Hills, and that can't be right. And they're only going to sterilise 200.
So where are we getting those numbers from, if you say it can't be right?
I tell you what happens. Young scientists or even the community go into a place and see 10 koalas sitting in a tree in, say, a couple of hectares.
And extrapolate. And then they look at,
yes, exactly. Yeah. And, in fact, the US government...
But surely young scientists would know better than that.
No, you'd be surprised. Right. You would be so surprised. And the US government, when they listed the koalas in 2000, because they have international abilities, you know, for elephants, and the koalas went on their list, they made the point, Australians extrapolate. And a lot of the time it is because there's logging interests at heart down there. So everyone's going, oh, there's millions of koalas, they're going to come in and stop us logging. So, no, we won't take any of those figures seriously.
Okay. Does functionally extinct mean it's too late, or if we get urgent action, can they be brought back to a point where the population is sustainable?
Well, you know, in your part of the world, you know, especially around the Illawarra and stuff, yeah. I do think that there are people who are really determined to get the koalas to recover. And but the only thing is we have to make sure that habitats don't get fragmented. As soon as you fragment a habitat, within 2 kilometres of a major disturbance, you will get extinction. Mm. And this is why governments don't like the even thought of having to protect large areas of habitat, because they think, oh, you know, we can't do anything in there. I don't believe that's true, Nick. I think you can still build houses amongst gum trees. I think people can tie up their dogs at night. I think that you know, we can do all sorts of things. But and I'm past wanting to educate industry. After 31 years, I've sat in too many Senate inquiries. I've met with too many developers who just go, nut hunt, I'm not doing that. So, you know, we all know they just flatten everything and then call it marsupial drive and then wait for 50 years for the trees to grow back. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we have seen some engineering solutions, even in the Wallandilly, for instance, around Appin Road, which is under pressure, Wilton, those kind of areas, with... So we've got bush on both sides and houses on both sides and the road needs to go through and they'll create these kind of bridges for the koalas to go from one to the other. Does the research show that they use them and that they work?
Look, I think some animals use them. The trouble is, how do you tell a koala there's a bridge down there? And unless they're fenced and you can channel the koalas to those spots. Yes, I've seen koalas use a tunnel and also a bridge, but I don't think it's... I don't think there's any such thing as a koala-friendly road. But that's
better to have uninterrupted space, bush for them to roam across.
Yes, and I think, you know, I think we've got enough roads in this country and I think we've got enough exhausted land. I think we have to relook at how we use our landscape. And as I drive across this incredible nation of ours, and I love it, in Western New South Wales a few weeks ago, I didn't see one river system that had any water in it. So koalas absolutely get affected. And the river red gums in the Mukai and the Namoi, they're all dying because they haven't been looked after for 200 years. So we've got a lot of recovery to do. And if we can recover our water systems, if we can recover those beautiful trees, then koalas will come back as long as they're there to come back from.
What would a Koala Protection Act look like?
A Koala Protection Act basically says if you have any landscape, so a miner, developer, even a private farm, if you have koala habitat on there, we the government think you need to protect it. We might compensate you for having that legislation, that habitat on there. But if you are industry, then you are going to have to do your environmental impacts up front. Because I think people would be surprised that a lot of industries are given no worries, mate, here's your permit. And those permits actually say you are allowed to kill things and we won't prosecute you. So the Koala Protection Act will take that right away from
people. It's implied, I suppose. You're allowed to cut down trees and therefore the possums in the hollows and et cetera and the koalas up the top.
But that's how extinction occurs, Nick. And, you know, the UN put this thing out and everyone's horrified, you know, there's going to be million species going to extinction. That's because they've all had permits to kill. And it sounds emotive language, but it's the truth.
Well, you point out that the United States, which is not known for its environmental sensitivity, reasonable to say, does have the Bald Eagle Act. And I suppose when something is beautiful looking and is also a symbol of the country, which applies to the koala, then these things do get put into place. Would you be confident that that would happen here?
It's interesting. When I was researching the Bald Eagle Act, and I've been on this for 20 years, seriously, and I just... Rachel Carson, who was famous for the thing about DDT in the 1930s and 40s, she was really the one behind this because the DDT was killing the bald eagles. But it really wasn't, and it came in 1940. But it started to be really enacted when Pearl Harbor happened. From about 1941, everyone said, oh, my goodness, we cannot have an extinct bird sort of on the shoulders of our general. So that's when it kicked in, and it took 50 years before, in 1992, they sort of said, you know what, we think the eagle's back in shape now. And what I think is so beautiful about that act is that, and because the feathers are a religious icon for Native Americans, they have to be picked up off the road reverentially. And as I drive past and see dead koalas, I think to myself, will there ever be a time when we reverentially pick up a koala on the road? Or any wildlife for that matter? Because if the UN's right and millions of species are going to extinction in the next 20 years, do we want that to be our beautiful species? And I'm not just saying koalas. When I'm in the bush, Nick, you know what the bush is like. I was at our research station the other day and a mother and father, red-tailed black, had their baby crying and, mum, you know. Like, I can't even imagine this country without our beautiful bush. And it's time our governments took this risk seriously.
Deborah Tabart, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been great to have your passion on the radio. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me. Bye.
The CEO.